the board.
What do you mean you don't bet?
I mean, I don't bet. You know, I don't gamble. I don't. I never have, and I never will.
Yeah, right.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
You owe me $15,000, pal.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
It's the Bet the Board podcast.
God likes me. He really, really likes me.
In the end, I wound up right back where I started. I could still pick winners, and I could still make money for all kinds of people back home. And why mess up a good thing?
Here's Payne Insider and Todd Furman.
Week 15 of the NFL season is upon us. This is the Thursday edition of the Bet the Board podcast. I'm your host, Todd Furman. You can follow me on Twitter at Todd Furman, alongside my esteemed colleague and co-host, the one, the only, Payne Insider. You can follow him on Twitter at Payne Insider. Payne, you should have told me it was going to be 85 degrees down here in South Florida this week for my arrival.
Well, when it's 65 in New York City this time of year, it's probably a good indication that it's going to be warm in South Florida.
30 degrees when I left Las Vegas in the wee hours of the evening last night. Didn't think to try and check the weather forecast or to pack sandals or whatever attire you guys wear down here in the warm months. And while it may be warm in the Northeast at this point, I can tell you where it's not all that warm and tingly. Right there in that Dolphins locker room, given their performance on Monday night, wanted to get your thoughts on what we saw unfold.
You know, we talked about this on the last podcast, and basically the handicap was, whether it was the Giants or whether it was the Dolphins, which team is not going to shoot themselves in the foot as much. And both teams, just mistake after mistake, and it really came down to not which team wanted it most, but which team wasn't going to screw the pooch late in that game, and it just happened to be the Giants. They made a huge play as they were backed up from in their own end. Aside from that, I mean, the Dolphins are what they are. We talked about this. This is not a five-win football team. Two wins that they did not deserve recently. And there's a lot of mess going on in that locker room. We know that. It's a very dysfunctional organization, has been for ages, and it kind of carries over onto the field. We see that every week. I know a lot of people were clamoring for more Lamar Miller. My only piece of information there is this is a guy they'd like to re-sign next year at a cheaper price, if you can read between the lines there.
Can you explain to me just real quick how Odell Beckham Jr. is the one player that gets open in the secondary for a huge play and essentially is the main playmaker in the Giants' offense and still able to go off and create all those mismatches throughout the 60 minutes against the Fins?
I went back and watched this game multiple times, and the play calling in the first half was phenomenal. It was probably the third best half of football from an offensive standpoint in terms of the play calling. After that, it was bad. The rest of the coaching in general was horrible. This was one of the worst coached games I have ever seen, that I've ever looked at film on. Dan Campbell, I think eventually at some point could be a good coach. He was kind of thrown into the mix. Clearly this job is a little above his head. He's never done this before. He's being thrown into the mix. And there's no real reason that Odell Beckham Jr. isn't double-teamed, doesn't have safety help. The one play he did get some safety help on, the safety kind of bit up there, and Jamar Taylor let him go to the safety, and he was just wide open for essentially the game-winning touchdown there. But Brent Grimes, we talked about that. He's getting a little older. Last year, they were able to basically just put him out on an island, but you need some help. It doesn't matter what cornerback it is. Beckham Jr. is going to get loose at some point. You have to have some help over the top.
And he'll have a much tougher test this weekend when Josh Norman comes into MetLife Stadium, a game that we'll preview later in the podcast. But before we get there, let's head out to the phones here on the Bet the Board podcast powered by Bet Online. Dave Mason. Dave, always good to have you jumping into the fray with us, my friend.
Hey, guys. How you all doing?
Things are good. No complaints down here in South Florida. I know Payne has gotten on me before because, you know, down here, Dave, you can't call Fort Lauderdale Miami. It's absolute blasphemy.
It's like calling New York City Long Island. Same thing.
Yeah, gray area. But either way, our listeners, they're not here to try and get a geography lesson, Dave. So first things first, how did last weekend's games work out for the house? I have to imagine Sunday, not exactly what you guys drew up.
Yeah, well, what it didn't go well. The players had a good weekend for NFL Week 14. It was pretty choppy, to tell you the truth. And then the primetime games went the players' way. We got murdered. You know, the Pats was such a huge play on the public. I think about 80% of the money was on the Patriots. And so they beat us up Sunday night, and then the Giants piled on Monday night. So overall, score NFL Week 14 to the betters.
And of course, we'll get to the Thursday night game in greater detail later, as we always close the Thursday podcast with that. But how's the liability look for Rams and Bucks tonight, and then some of the other games that the house already knows are going to create big decisions over the weekend?
Yeah, tonight's game is split 50-50. We did take some sharp action on the Rams at about a pick 'em and minus one. They're up to minus 2.5, minus 113 as we speak. But the overall action, it's close to 50-50. I mean, a little bit more money on the Rams, but not too much. As far as the rest of the games, we do have some big liabilities shaping up for Sunday. It's all road chalk. 90% of the bets are on the Jets over the Cowboys. That's currently minus 3, minus 125. 90% on the Packers, minus 3 over the Raiders. And about 76% of the action is on the Panthers, minus 5.5. over the Giants. So, yeah, that the road chalk, they love it. So we'll be rooting for those home underdog teams on Sunday.
It is always a better's best friend, especially this time of year. That Jets game, very interesting, as you mentioned, a Saturday night standalone with a lot of bowl action. So I have to believe you guys will be rooting for the Cowboys, not only to cover, but maybe to win that game outright. As far as some of the liabilities, Dave, any sharp positions? The wise guys starting to tip their hand a little bit as we sit here Thursday morning?
Yeah, like I said, tonight, some sharp action on St. Louis at a pick 'em and minus one. Eagles plus 4. That's currently plus 3.5, minus 115. And the Steelers minus 5.5. That's all the way up to minus 6.5 as they take on the Broncos in that big matchup on Sunday.
And as we know, NFL reigns supreme for both Payne and I on Bet the Board, but of course, college bowl season cranking up in earnest. What kind of promotions can a lot of our listeners look for as they look to either reload, maybe open a new account, and get involved in the holiday spirit with so many bowl games scattered across these next 2-3 weeks?
Right, yeah, the bowl games always bring in a ton of action, and we will have live betting, true live betting on every bowl game, just like we do every NFL game. When I say true, that means we leave our odds open during the game, not just like during timeouts like so many other quote-unquote live products. So those odds will be up during the game. And if you've never tried our live betting software, you get a risk-free $25 bet on your first play. But besides that, for bonuses, for a deposit bonus, we still have the newbie bonus. Promo code BTB50 for a 50% newbie bonus. Go over to www.betonline.ag/bettheboard for details. And also a reload bonus. If you already have a BetOnline account, there's a one-time reload bonus for a 30%. That's promo code BTB30.
Payne, that reload bonus could come in handy for you with college football, my friend.
Yeah.
You guys, Dave, always a pleasure getting you on every Thursday to talk about exactly what you guys are looking for down at the shop. Best of luck this weekend, and I know some of our listeners won't want to hear, but Payne and I will be rooting for a lot of those home dogs right alongside with you on Sunday to get the book back in the black.
All right, fellas, have a great weekend.
You too, bud.
Take care.
Payne, Dave gave us a perfect place to start, and it's with that Saturday night game. He mentioned how public the Jets have become in a road chalk role. Really hard to argue with how dominant Gang Green played a week ago in disposing of the Tennessee Titans. A final score, in my opinion, that probably wasn't nearly as indicative as the domination, whereas Dallas struggled to move the football consistently. When you look at this current number at Bet Online, the Jets headed towards 3.5, a total right around 42. Does a short week change the handicap at all, in your opinion?
You know, the short week obviously isn't that conducive for the Jets. Certainly you have to factor that in. But when you look at the other side of the coin here, this is now the third game in 13 days for the Cowboys. And mentally, where are they at this point? You know, the season is officially done. So we have not only seen public money on the Jets, we have seen some professional money on the Jets as well. This is going to trend towards 3.5. It's going to continue to tick up. At some point, there will be a buy price on the Cowboys. But this is another game. We talk about it this late in the year. What does your number say? What does the information and the reading say? They're two totally different things here, because nobody is going to make the Jets at Dallas, you know, potentially where this is going to close around four, a four-point favorite on the road. But the Jets have been coming on the last few weeks. The schedule, though, you play the Titans, you get the Dolphins, we know what they are. And then really a comeback effort against the Giants, where, you know, the Giants kind of threw that game away. So while the Jets are getting W's in the win columns, this is clearly, you know, a little tougher task, I think.
And you talk about intent all the time. I think it's probably worth noting here that the professionals know this number, where it's going to go. It's a Saturday night standalone game. If you like the Jets, it makes sense to get in on the ground floor, lay the three with potential buyback opportunity, definitely going to be available. Again, if you like the underdog, there's no reason to move early on the Dallas Cowboys. You can probably wait until about 5 minutes before kickoff, especially at some of those recreational books, and get the single best number available that you're going to see on Dallas all week.
Yeah, without question. Entering the market is extremely important. It hasn't come into huge play this year for us, the number, but it's always good practice to get the best possible number on any game you play.
Any quick thoughts on the total that sits at 42, knowing Dallas's struggles on the offensive side of the ball?
Yes, certainly. I think you probably make a nice case for the under. We saw this open up at the key of 43. We're now down to 42, probably still a very good number there. I would be very intrigued if I could get a 21.5 in the first half. That market hasn't completely opened yet at this point. There are some 21s out there in the West Coast, but 21.5 would be a great number. Probably at 21, still a decent play.
Definitely makes a whole lot of sense. I know folks will be glued to their TVs starting early Saturday with some bowl action tied into the NFL. As we look towards the Sunday slate, one team who I think had one of the more surprising wins last week, and we touched on them in some greater detail on Monday, the Washington Redskins playing host to the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo going to need all sorts of help to get back in the thick of things as far as the AFC is concerned. Yet oddsmakers open Buffalo a one-point favorite on the road. The Skins, all the pressure in the world. They know with the division that lies ahead. But this game, in the grand scheme of it, you hate to say, is meaningless, but not nearly as important as their final two divisional clashes.
Yeah, we've actually seen a little early money on the Bills. They actually opened up plus one in this spot, and now they're, you know, you're looking at minus one basically across the board. This is kind of one of those, just Rex Ryan. That's the main issue here. When you really break down the game at the Eagles last week, this is a Bills team that had 1.2 more yards per play than the Eagles and somehow managed to lose that game. And you look at the coaching, you look at this undisciplined team. It's the same thing that happened in New York. I mean, 100 yards and penalties, 15 total penalties. You're just not going to win games on the road if you continue to do that. And we're not sure they're going to be able to stop that under Rex Ryan. Redskins, on the flip side, great road win. We know they play better at home. A lot of their weapons are starting to get together there. DeSean Jackson, you're going to have to look out for him a little bit. He's still battling a little injury, a question mark for this weekend. The Bills, this is probably their last hoorah here. And I'm not completely high on the Redskins, not completely high on either team here. I want to do a little more digging, but I think you will continue to see a little money on Buffalo.
No, the Bills have been the model of inconsistency. You know, they can't follow up one good performance with another, but they are 7-2 straight up and against the spread their last nine games off a loss, so they tend to bounce back relatively well. I will say, Payne, next time you use hoorah on this podcast, I want a little more Al Pacino in that voice of yours.
It's hoorah for me. I think Pacino went hoo-wah. It's a little different.
All right. Well, my technicalities and technicalities. The Sunday night game pits the birds of prey against one another, I guess if you want to call the Cardinals that, depending on where you're at. Arizona opened a 3.5-point favorite for their trip to Philadelphia, and that number has seen some money on the Eagles despite overwhelming public support for the Cardinals. Interesting note here, if this game were to go off at 3.5, it would be the largest home underdog price tag we'd seen the Eagles installed in going all the way back to 2012. I ask you this every week, how do we handicap Arizona? We know they need a win to control the West, but is this team as good as the respect that oddsmakers are giving it every time they get on the field?
You know, Bruce Arians is just fantastic. Total man crush. May actually go out and buy one of his hats after this segment, but we've talked about this, whatever it is, I just can't put my finger on it, but there's something about Arizona that really just irks me. And so I did a little digging, and we saw the lack of the killer instinct Thursday. They got up 10, couldn't seal the game away. We saw something similar in the Sunday night game against the Bengals. Got up, couldn't seal the game away. But really digging deep, we talked about this new defensive coordinator, James Betcher, and why he was blitzing so much, especially against Teddy Bridgewater. And you really start to look at some of their pass rushing efficiency numbers. They're not very good. 29th in the NFL in pass rush efficiency, and that's the reason we see them kind of being exposed a little bit with all those blitzes. Then the other thing on offense is converting in the red zone. They're starting to struggle in that area as well. I told you Chris Johnson was going to wear down a month ago. He's not there. They're starting to struggle the last 3 weeks. Just 40% TD conversions. That's good for 27th in the NFL. So they can't get to the quarterback right now, and they're not converting in the red zone. Those are issues. We've seen money on the Eagles, partly because of those issues, as well as Patrick Peterson could be pretty questionable for this game in the secondary.
With the Eagles, too, I want to warn a lot of our listeners who are thinking Philadelphia in a clear must-win scenario now, sitting controlling their own playoff destiny. I'd caution against that when you consider that Philadelphia plays the Redskins at home week 16 and goes on the road to the Giants. Even with a loss to Arizona, they would still control their own playoff destiny, needing to win those final two regular season tilts.
Yeah. I get where you're going with that. I just think this is a team right now. They don't know they've been fortunate the last 2 weeks. The locker room's playing confidently. I think it's just the wrong message to send that potentially, hey, you know, we can take this one off. The next two mean the world to us. And so we take this off now, all of a sudden a week from now, we got to kick it back into fifth gear, you know, and go 140 miles per hour after taking this week off. I just don't see that coming into play, but who knows?
Well, I wanted to ask you that question real quick. When we talk about late season momentum, obviously, you know, we do a lot of digging into stats, trying to figure out where odds makers overvalue a win and a loss, where the stats tell us a different story. How much does the handicap change with the Eagles, knowing that they've been outplayed, as you alluded to, with Buffalo yards per play? We knew New England outplayed in Philadelphia, fortunate to get some unique scoring opportunities there. Do you kind of throw those numbers out for the simple fact that this was a team left to be dead and buried, now not realizing that they've been so fortunate to be 2-0 over the last two games?
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, you know, I've talked about this. I don't think I'm further investing unless there is a huge, huge edge for me because of those futures we have in the division, where essentially if you're betting the Eagles, you know, the last few weeks or the next few weeks moving forward, you're essentially double dipping. And while that's not great practice if you do have an edge, and of course if I have a huge edge, I'm going to be on the Eagles, but I'm not running this week to take them. I know there are professional bettors that have. I wasn't willing to take four. I'm not going to be willing to take 3.5 or even 3 in some situations at where it's at right now. So for me, you know, this is an Eagles team that, you know, they are putting it together a little bit. You know, you see the quarterback Bradford starting to gain some confidence. They're starting to get guys on the field that can help make plays. They're getting the right running backs on the field. The defense, you know, coming back together a little bit. They still have issues in the secondary, and that is the key matchup this week, I think, when you look at this game. That the Cardinals' dynamic passing against this Eagles secondary, that's what scares me a little bit.
Well, as the Eagles are starting to put it together a little bit, a team who's had it together since day one of the regular season, the Carolina Panthers, they put their unblemished record on the line at MetLife Stadium against the Giants. The Giants, of course, a big win on Monday night, as we broke down earlier in the podcast. A little bit different matchup for Odell Beckham Jr., but the Giants are a pretty average football team. And when you look at this number here, you have seen some support for Carolina. Current price right now, as you look at this Giants game, Carolina a 5-point favorite. 5.5-point favorite, excuse me, at BetOnline, total of 48 when they head up to the Northeast.
Yeah, I know you proposed this question to me about potentially the Panthers being undervalued, and it's hard to argue that. I guess the other side of the coin or the rebuttal would be, what do you make New England fully healthy versus the Panthers fully healthy on a neutral field?
I mean, I'm making New England a substantial favorite there, and I think it would surprise a lot of people if I say I'm making the Patriots at full speed about a 4.5-5-point chalk.
Okay. So now we're looking at this game, and we're saying that they could potentially be undervalued. We saw New England close 6.5 at the Sharp Shops. You're now looking at 5.5 here at BetOnline. So Jonathan Stewart's down this week. Greg Olsen far from 100%. They lose their starting cornerback opposite Norman. Thankfully, it looks like Peanut Tillman will be back this week. But suddenly, for the first time this year, aside from training camp, obviously. The injury bug is starting to nip the Panthers a bit here. We talked about this last week, that we thought Ron Rivera, while he would certainly love an undefeated season, there was more focused on keeping guys healthy and winning a ring. I think we see that a little bit this week. The Giants, as we know, for years past, you're a Giants fan, they tend to play to the level of their competition. And we saw this at home against New England. Should have won that game, kind of threw it away, but they were there every step of the way. And I think they'll be here this week again, every step of the way with the Panthers. I think there's a little manipulation in the market. I think there's a lot of guys that would like to take six on the Giants.
There's a good chance it may get there. One of the more interesting matchups of the weekend for sure. I know we've seen professional money against Carolina what feels like damn near every week. Would not be a surprise to see more of the same here this week. From that matchup, Pando, I think one that's maybe the most fascinating on paper of the entire schedule taking place in the AFC. Denver goes on the road after that ridiculous second half against Oakland where they just couldn't move the football at all to take on the hottest offense, maybe the hottest team overall in the NFL, the Pittsburgh Steelers. We've seen this number get pushed all the way up to 6.5 minus $1.15. Money coming in on the under at BetOnline, total down to 44. But Denver and Pittsburgh, is a line this big warranted amid some concerns about what's going on at the quarterback position for Denver at this point?
Yeah, you know, Dave Mason came in, joined us. He said there was some sharp money on Pittsburgh early in the week. It will be interesting to see where this line settles, because at some price point, there is going to be some love for the Denver Broncos. Now, offensively, Denver the last few weeks, they haven't been great. I'm not sure I want to put that all on Brock Osweiler. At one point in that game last week, he completed 17 of 20. There was a ton of huge drops by just about everyone. Demaryius Thomas continues to be butterfingers. Vernon Davis, huge drop. In the pass protection was not very good. Evan Mathis continues to battle those ankle injuries. So it looked like in that second half, the offensive line completely overwhelmed. Couldn't get the ground game going. Couldn't protect Osweiler. Tons of drops when Osweiler did get time. So I am not ready to throw in the towel on Osweiler. If we have to think about what's coming back potentially in Peyton Manning, this is a guy. His last six starts, 4 touchdown passes, 14 picks. So I think Brock still needs to be the guy here. When you look at this Pittsburgh team, yes, they are hot. But look who they've kind of done it against in recent weeks. The Bengals against A.J. McCarron. And here's one interesting number that I thought was just mind-blowing. A.J. McCarron comes in cold off the bench, plays 3.5 quarters, and the Steelers' defense allows the second-highest yards per play in Week 14, nearly 7 yards per play. Only Atlanta, who got blown out 38-0, surrendered more per play last week than the Steelers' defense. So I think there might be some offensive opportunities here. It looks like C.J. Anderson is going to be a go this week. I think that will help the ground game. And then on the flip side, I think the Broncos' defense, I think they get some guys back healthy. I think they'll do enough here to contain the offense. Ware came back last week. Trevathan looks like he'll pass the concussion protocol. You nailed it last week with some of their secondary issues. Looks like David Burton could come back. T.J. Ward, long shot, but that would be a huge addition as well.
Yeah, you mentioned Pittsburgh's defense and some of their struggles. You never want to get mentioned in the same breath as the Atlanta Falcons, albeit Pittsburgh in a win, Atlanta in a blowout loss against them. One last question, Payne, before we close the book on this game. Does the movement on the total surprise you for all those reasons you outlined? You saw the market 45.5, down to 44. You would think that that played more into the Broncos' hands than it would the Steelers.
Yeah, I think it's kind of, when you look at either of these games, in my opinion, either side correlates to the under simply because Pittsburgh, we've seen them a little bit. If they don't have to open it up, they don't necessarily do that. Denver, not only defensive side of the ball containing the Steelers, but the offense, what it's shown the last few weeks not being great, is another reason why this has continued to come down. For me, as this total continues to tick down, we've talked about this a lot. Points become a little more valuable as the total continues to come down. And at 7, I think we'll see some professional money eventually in Denver.
And you may have an opportunity to buy later in the day on Thursday to get to 7 at a reduced price if the market continues to trend in that specific direction. And Payne, we know our listeners would love us to cover every game in detail. Of course, we like to focus on some of the bigger matchups, the marquee games that people are going to be investing in. But is there a game maybe flying under the radar that's of note, or a few nuggets you have worth sharing for our listeners?
I think the other big game would be the Packers-Raiders, trying to gauge momentum there in both directions. That's a game that we see the public, you know, they're all over Green Bay, and I'm just not ready to buy the Raiders, but I think that's a game that a lot of people need to focus on to figure out what these two teams are the remaining weeks. We've talked about this Raiders team. They gained 2.3 yards per play and didn't score a defensive or special teams touchdown last week. How did they cover? How did they win straight up? You know, the Raiders have some really, really questionable wins against the Titans and now Denver. I'm not giving them credit for them at all. It appears the market is. On the flip side of that game, I think you have to probably adjust your power numbers a little bit, give the Packers a slight tick up with Mike McCarthy calling plays. I don't think all is well at that point with Mike McCarthy. I think the Cowboys kind of didn't have the great game plan defensively with pressing those wide receivers for whatever reason. But those are two teams in a game that I'm definitely going to be very, very interested in this week to see what we can pull from that. Is Green Bay back? I think you give them a slight tick up with Mike McCarthy, but I don't think they're all the way back just yet. And then the Raiders, it'll be interesting to see what they are at this point. We've been really, really down on them the last few weeks.
Yeah, I'm curious to see exactly what Green Bay does in the pass protection end of things to keep Khalil Mack from living in the backfield like he did a week ago against the Denver Broncos and picking up 5 sacks. And Payne, if our loyal folks out there didn't have a reason to subscribe to the Bet the Board podcast in the past via SoundCloud, iTunes, or by visiting us at ToddsTake.com, they definitely do now as we get into the holiday season. It's a major announcement from us, so grab your pens, grab your papers, folks, and mark these key dates down. Next Monday, December 21st, the NFL podcast will be on as normally regularly scheduled programming, so we'll be here for you. On Wednesday, December 23rd, we'll do our NFL edition a day early to allow folks to spend Christmas Eve with their friends and family and get their NFL bets in a little bit early. But along with that, we'll also have a bonus edition Bet the Board podcast, not for professional football, but for the NBA and the 5 big games on Christmas. Also a little recap of what we've seen through the quarter mark of the season with our special guest and maybe weekly contributor for the NBA moving forward, Worldwide Wob, more affectionately known as Rob Perez. Full podcast, that'll be recorded on December 28th. So there will not be an NFL Monday podcast on that day. We'll have a bowl podcast with special guest there, Clay Travis, to offer his perspective and unique take, not only on gambling, but obviously his SEC homerism and bias amid his miraculous 59% college football season so far. And for the NFL New Year's, that weekend podcast will take place on December 29th, which is a Tuesday. So we won't have the same perfect information we would as we get closer to the weekend, but a lot of big things in the work as we try and cater to you folks out there to give you the best information possible from Bet the Board. Payne, I just wanted to make sure you're getting your sleep in now because this is a lot of work for us to put in over the span of 8-9 days.
Yeah, absolutely. And after your little jab earlier in the podcast, I'm allowed to show up for the Bowl podcast?
You are allowed to show up for the Bowl podcast, but there's a good chance our producer, Sam, may have to jump in and fill hosting responsibilities if I don't carry my weight through the early bowl game. So there could be a lot of personnel shuffling going on before we actually get to December 28th.
I may have to fill in, too, if your cup and string isn't working in 2 weeks either. I might have to work in, too.
this is what happens when you take the show on the road. You're away from the home base. We know how this works, so I apologize for any listener quality, but honestly, guys, they want to listen to Payne more than they want to listen to me. And Payne, as we always do on Thursdays, we close with a preview of the Thursday night game, this one between the Tampa Bay Bucks and the St. Louis Rams. We've seen money on St. Louis push the price as high as 3 before there was a little buyback. Total on this game sits at 41. I'll make the case that St. Louis should never be a field goal favorite or even 2.5-point chalk over anybody, but Tampa on a short week after that demoralizing loss last Sunday to New Orleans.
Yeah, I think we talked about that a little bit last week, how big of a loss that was for a pretty young team. St. Louis at this point, though, they're all ground game, and that's one thing Tampa's been able to kind of negate the opposing team is from them running the ball. So That makes this game very difficult for me to gauge. Vincent Jackson out is a big loss. We saw the tick downwards this offense took earlier in the season with Vincent Jackson out. I think Austin Seferian-Jenkins is going to have to step up here and play a little bigger role. His first 2 weeks back, 21 snaps, 25 snaps. I think he's going to have to play a majority of this game. Hopefully he's in shape for Jameis Winston, the Bucks. Clearly professional money on the Rams this week, sending this all the way from plus one out to as high as minus three. That was not a good buy point on the Rams at minus three if you're chasing steam. Good luck to you. We've seen some buyback on Tampa at plus three. We're now in no man's land at 2.5 here. I don't have much on this game, and it stinks. The last few weeks we've been talking about these Monday games, these Thursday games. We don't have a ton on them. The market's moving so significantly on them. If I had to pick something on this side, I'd be looking at the first half under at 20.5. That's probably the way I would look here. But I've not invested in anything on this game at this point.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think it's a tough game to handicap, but for the side perspective, I feel like it's a true coin flip. I am as looking at the first half under as well there. Don't think we're going to see a 21. 20.5 may be enough to get me invested in that particular contest, but I think if you're looking for sides or totals that make the most sense, that probably the only angle to look to go after. Interesting trends on this game as well that come to us from our friends at Oddshark. Rams 2-9 straight up after a win the last 11 times it's happened. The Bucks, though, 2-9 against the spread the last 11 times they've gone out on the road during the month of December. However, the Bucks have been an under team, 8-3 to the under their last 11. And Payne, rather than keeping folks on the line that much longer with my snap, crackle, pop connection over here, I want to wish everybody a best of luck. As we said, we'll be with you next week in a lot more comprehensive format across a number of sports. So for Payne Insider, follow him on Twitter, at Payne Insider. I'm Todd Furman. You can follow me on Twitter as well, at Todd Furman. Subscribe, SoundCloud, iTunes, or visit us at ToddsTake.com. Best of luck not only Thursday night with Rams Bucks, but any of your wagers on Sunday. And hopefully, Payne and I will see you at the window. We'll be right back.